thing to read then, and I read again this evening the word of God that you'll find at the end of the chapter that we have read together, from verse 25 to 27. Daniel chapter 6, reading verses 25 to 27. Then King Darius wrote unto all people, nations and languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied unto you. I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom men tremble and fear before the God of Daniel, for he is the living God and steadfast forever, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall be even unto the end. He delivereth and rescueth, and he worketh signs and wonders in heaven and in earth, who hath delivered Daniel from the power of the lions. We have in the minister's vestry at Eastbourne a Bible that for many, many years was in the pulpit. And when we were given a new Bible, I said to our deacons, please let us have that old Bible in the vestry. The reason being that it is full of very important truths regarding the history of the Word of God in many different ways. And quite recently, when I had to venture to read this same chapter, and on that occasion to read verse 22 as the text, my God has sent his angel and has shut the lions' mouths, that they have not hurt me. For as much as before him innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O King, have I done no hurt. But in that Bible, I found then, because you may just notice, the last verse in this chapter says, so this Daniel prospered in the reign of Darius and in the reign of Cyrus the Persian. And I was given to understand in that Bible that at this particular time King Cyrus had gone back to his own country and was visiting his parents. And at the same time, I was told that he married King Darius's only daughter. Now, I only mention that to show us the sovereignty of God, because we need to be reminded that by me kings reign and princes decree justice, and they still do. We need to remember that. And even our own government at this present time, if we believe our Bibles, is there by divine appointment. Whether it is for good or ill, it's all in the Lord's hands. But I believe that I am right at least to say this, that at this present time it is very solemnly evident that the hand of judgment is being made known in many different ways throughout the whole world, and of course in our own land. And those things that have taken place in more recent time, and we do wonder, as again we read in the Bible, "O my Lord," said Daniel, "O my Lord, what shall be the end of these things?" And of course that is in the Lord's hand. But the effect of the present climate, financially and in other ways, surely is speaking to us. Now, why I read these verses last evening at our prayer meeting was because of this. And I only mention just a little of what I did mention last evening. But a while ago we had two friends from Natfield Chapel with us, and I was given a note by one of them encouraging me to write to our Queen. And encouraging our Queen particularly to call the nation to prayer. And I felt moved to venture to do so. And I reminded our Queen, it so happens that I am more or less in her own generation. And I tried to encourage our Queen to call the nation to prayer, and could remind her, particularly of her own father. And there are those of us here tonight, and we know this, that King George VI was used of God on a number of occasions to call this nation to prayer. Not only was he moved to do so, and there was evidence that he feared God, but there are those of us here tonight who were children when the Second World War commenced. We have our memories of it. But what we also remember is that God, in great mercy, on many occasions, both heard and answered prayer. And I'm sure it would be right for me to say this, that the Lord delivered us from our enemies in miraculous ways during that conflict. And I was also reminded recently, particularly in relation to what we call Remembrance Sunday, that King George V in 1918, when our nation was again at war and the whole thing was going against us, that King George V called the nation to prayer, and within a few days the tide began to turn again for England and others in the First World War. Now, my own personal feeling is that we need to be reminded of what the great God of heaven has done for us as a nation, and indeed in and for his people in this land And I mentioned this last evening, and how Mr. Drury, who is now, he is now 86, and he was in the Second World War in the Navy. But he just said this to me last evening in the vestry. He said, "Pastor, even Winston Churchill called the nation to prayer." Well, I can't remember the details, but he wouldn't have said it if he didn't know it. Well, I had to speak in this way at our prayer meeting last night. And all I told them was, and I tell it here again tonight in Rye Chapel, that I had a letter back from our Queen. And whatever we might think about it or about her, it was very well written by whoever wrote it, but the Queen was mentioned and understood. She said she understood why there was the need for prayer. And because of it, she told me that she would send my letter to our Prime Minister. To my surprise, I had a letter back from him. But the solemn aspect of it was this. Two things, really. He said that there could be the need to ask our Queen to call the nation to prayer. But it could only be if all the churches agreed to it. And he didn't think that at such a time as this it was necessary. Well, I'm sure we disagree with him over that. Now, the Lord has kept all this on my mind. I felt I must venture with it here tonight. But added to this, and any of you that have any support the Christian Institute will know that we've had yet another letter from them regarding the latest proposal for an EU directive regarding all the solemn aspects of our lives as a nation, and all those solemn things that are increasing every day. And they were saying in that letter that if this should become law, that is regarding Europe, that we as a country would become subservient to it. Well, to my heart and mind, these things are more solemn than we begin. I'm saying this from my own heart, from what we begin to realize. Now, I leave all that with you. But the point of divine truth that moved me to speak as I did at the prayer meeting was really what I've read to you tonight. In this decree that Darius had to make, compelled to make, that in every dominion of my kingdom it was simply this: men tremble and fear before the God of Daniel. And it was that arrested me. It arrested my own heart, my own mind, and my own soul. And I told our people at home last evening that when people set a man as a watchman over them, They have the responsibility to warn. And that has been a burden with me all through. But am I wrong to say that we contend not to really and truly take it in? And warning notes need to be sounded. And we thank the Lord whenever he has raised up men in the ministry and in our nation, as I mentioned about our King, King George the Sixth. And yet our Queen is subservient, she says, to her ministers. But she does have, and at times, we have found she has a mind of her own. Another thought which has just come to my mind when I was invited to Grove Road Chapel, Eastbourne, for 6 months on probation, and it so happened that I was to preach on the Wednesday evening, that a church meeting was to be held, when a vote was to be taken regarding this poor sinner. And I can tell you what I had to preach from. It was this: that every man be persuaded in his own mind. And you know, to answer that, I can tell you this, and this is what I feel. We need the mind of Christ. Not our own mind, but we need the mind of Christ in everything. And Daniel possessed it. That is so evident, isn't it? Because what did we read this evening? Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes. Why? Because an excellent spirit was in him. And the king thought to set him over the whole realm. Now Daniel, again through that old Bible, he was no longer a young man. He was an old man by this time. And yet, if ever a man was honoured and used of God in captivity, I believe we would all agree it was Daniel. Why was he honoured? He was honoured by his God, and he was honoured by his God because he possessed the Spirit of Christ. And that, of course, is what we all need if we're going to do anything aright. Whatever position we may hold, it comes right down, you know, to fathers and mothers and homes. It comes right down into business life. It comes right down into the diaconate. It comes right down into the Church of God on earth. And it solemnly comes down to the work of the ministry. Now, we shall only ever do anything aright, I'm very aware of it, only as we have this same spirit within us. Because by nature we have a complete opposite. A complete opposite. And that is only motivated by sin and pride and self and jealousy and all those evils that abound in us by nature. We can never expect the Lord's blessing only as we are enabled. Another thought, dear Mr. Offer, when I started there on probation, he would come into the vestry to speak to me, and I heard him coming because he was an old man, he had a stick. And this particular, and I think I've said it here before, but it's come again. He comes into the vestry, he stands in front of me, And, you know, he said this, you won't always be going round and round the denomination like you are. Now, the Lord knows why he said it. And I believe I knew why he said it. But the point, the important part of his visit was this. He stood in front of me and he said, let thine eyes look right on, and thine eyelids straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, let all thy ways be established. And he turned and went. I knew what he meant. You know, it really meant this, it's putting Christ first. Christ first. And another thought has come, and the Lord may use it here tonight, that when we, when I became the pastor at Eastbourne, I needed work. I needed work to help to support us as a family, and without my putting my hand to it, the Lord provided me three jobs as a gardener, which had been my life around that time. He provided me with three jobs in three different places, just one day a week, and that was just all I needed then. But what I was going to say was this, one of the ladies that I worked for belonged to the Brethren. But I believe she was a gracious lady. And I was to come and preach here at Bethel one Tuesday evening. And she knew what my life was. And I'll tell you what she said to me. She said, Mr. Mercer, it needs to be Christ first in your preaching. And that's how I came to Bethel that Tuesday evening. Needs to be Christ first. I've never forgotten it. So you'll see, I've come to Bethel tonight as I have. And that's all I can do. Now, may we consider then, because really and truly, if we consider what the Lord is allowing to happen, particularly regarding Europe, and another thought, and I mentioned it last evening, you know, you may have joined in sending those cards to our Queen, encouraging her, so that we as a nation could have a referendum regarding the question of Europe. And I tried yesterday. As far as I know, we never heard a word about it. And our government, they've given in. And yet, you know, unless the Lord has mercy upon us, and I fear it will rather be the hand of judgment, but if the Lord will have mercy upon us, we shall, and we are becoming, captives to Europe. We're being captivated by it in many different ways. Now, you see, I've come to Bethel with this tonight. But friends, where is our hope? Where is our hope? If we, you know, if we think about it, I hope the Lord is in these thoughts and I'm venturing with it. But, you know, if we think about it, how was Daniel found in captivity? Well, I'm sure you all know why Daniel and his friends, and of course others, you will know why they were in captivity. And what was the solemn answer to it? First of all, it went back to King Manasseh. And of course, in an even more solemn sense, it went back to dear, godly King Hezekiah. When his heart was lifted up with pride, and he was so pleased to have a present come, as it did, and instead of telling those who came of what God had done for him, he showed all his treasures to them. You can read about it in Isaiah 39. Godly man though he was, and I have to join with him in this, knowing very well in measure, you know, what pride can do to any one of us. We're told regarding Hezekiah, God left him to try him, that he might know all that was in his heart. And instead of giving God the glory, he gave it to himself, showed all his treasures. And what was the solemn outcome? First of all, there was Manasseh, who was Hezekiah's son. And then there was Manasseh's son. And you know it went on. But the reason why Daniel was, and I use this because I'm trying to speak about Daniel, but the reason why Daniel was there, it went right back to his forebears. His grandfather Hezekiah, or great-grandfather, as I believe it would have been. Friends, you know what the Bible says to us? Be sure your sin will find you out. I don't know how you'll respond or feel to what I'm saying, but friends, you know, the Bible speaks about the danger, at least, of the sins of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, but show mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Well, if we are among them that love him, and by his grace desire at least to keep his commandments, then we can only hope there is hope, even for children. If the Lord has given us children and grandchildren as well, and as it may go on. I had no thought I was going to speak as I have in all this here tonight, but I've had to do it. And you see, the Lord brought that home personally to me yesterday regarding all these different happenings. And this latest directive regarding Europe and the Christian Institute are asking people that support them, and we've had to try and do it right to, now we're being asked to write to MEPs about all this. Well, we need help to do it, don't we? We need help to do these things. And the Lord can use it. Now, leaving all that and trying to come to this. But, you know, when I think of what arrested me yesterday in the prospect of the prayer meeting, that in every dominion of my kingdom men tremble and fear before the God of Daniel. And I also wondered if I should have to venture regarding Ezra. And you can read about it in the book of Ezra. Then were gathered unto him those who trembled before God in that matter that was then upon them. Oh, don't we need, I'm saying this from my own heart, dear friend, but don't we need to be stirred up? Don't we need to be stirred up? And the solemn happenings and the way things are. And as our friend at the desk, we mentioned together in the vestry just now, you know, there's a withholding of power attending the ministry of the Word of God in our day now. Solemn withholding of power, the awful effects of it. And yet, oh, to be granted a little real trembling before the great eternal God. Well, I've had to come to Bethel with it tonight. And yet, another thought which I've had with me in this subject is this. How many times Daniel had been brought to a solemn crisis. You go back to the beginning of this book of the prophecy of Daniel and see what God did with Daniel then as a young man, where he refused, didn't he? He was given grace. Let me just remind you of it and read what it says. And what was it that motivated Daniel then? Well, the same Spirit of Christ, even then as a young man. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Now God had brought Daniel into favor and tender love with the prince of the eunuchs. You think of it, in captivity as a young man there, and the grace, the strength, the wisdom that God gave him. He had to make a stand. What did it mean for him? Well, we know what it meant for him. The prince of the eunuchs said unto Daniel, I fear my lord the king, who hath appointed your meat and your drink. For why should he see your faces worse liking than the children which are of your sort? Then shall ye make me endanger my head to the king. And the sentence of death was pronounced. And what did Daniel do then? Oh, we have these remarkable instances regarding, and friends, Daniel was in captivity. And I feel, in a sense, that we as a nation are in captivity because of our sins. We're being captivated, we're being held as a nation by sin and its effects, and that is to be known and felt in many different ways. And yet, what did Daniel do then? Perhaps the Lord would just help me to remind us of this. What did Daniel do then regarding this that had been spoken? Well, we know that what could he do about it? Well, we know what he did about it. He went to his friends. What did he do? He went to his friends. This is recorded not in the first chapter, but in the second. But what did they do? Then Daniel went to his house and made the thing known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions. And here we need, you know, this is what this trembling will do for us. And I feel to need it, that they would desire mercies of the God of heaven concerning this secret, that Daniel and his fellows should not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. And these things went on, didn't they? And yet they were still in captivity. Now, coming back to this sixth chapter, for as long as the Lord would have it to be so, you see, the enemies of God were again seeking to get rid of Daniel. Just as it had been with his three friends, when they resisted King Nebuchadnezzar regarding let me read it so that I do not misquote it. When you think about it, when Nebuchadnezzar made an image of gold and set it up in the plain of Dura, and you know how those three young men, they resisted King Nebuchadnezzar, and what did it mean for them? They were thrown into the burning fiery furnace. And yet here and now with Daniel here, and when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, what did he do? And friend, what is our hope? Even under all these things that are happening now and all the situation that we have now in our own country, here surely are words of divine direction for us, for me. Oh, to know more of this. Now, when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. Now that was the only course he could take. And isn't it the only course that we can take? Even yet, I'm very aware that only God can grant it to us. But don't we need it? Don't we need, if it could please our God, an outpouring of the Holy Spirit once more in our land? And you know what the Bible tells us, that judgment must first begin at the house of God? Oh, how these things lay upon my spirit again tonight. Now, Daniel knew, and I'm sure that Daniel knew that jealousy was at the root of it all. And jealousy is as cruel as the grave, the Bible tells us very plainly. And I would feel that jealousy and pride are two solemn sins that are so often bound together, even in the lives of the Lord's own people. It can be as solemn when it is. Now, what did Daniel do then? Well, he came into this. Indeed, he did. I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom men tremble and fear before the God of Daniel, for he is the living God and steadfast forever. Now, in one of our calendars at home, I can't remember whether it was today or quite, but you know, it said this, hallelujah, I think it was today, the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. And don't we need to be reminded of this? In our own sad need as a nation, and in our churches and in every and in our own lives personally, oh, don't we need to be reminded that the Lord God omnipotent reigneth, and he is over all, God blessed forevermore. And of his kingdom, you see, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Now that is our mercy. I hope the Lord is in this, as I ventured with it here tonight. That's all I can do. Hope the Lord may be in it. But you know, you'll remember it, how it was with God's servant Haggai. And you know how Haggai had to preach in his day to those who were more taken up with their sealed houses and my house lie waste. And Haggai had to preach, and the people believed him. And what was the effect of it? Well, the effect of it was this: the Lord stirred up the spirit of the governor of Judah, and stirred up the spirit of Joshua the high priest, and the people, and they were stirred, and they did work regarding what the Lord had commanded them to do. So I leave it with you in a few moments tonight. But you know, when you think about it, we do not know how King Darius stood, I mean, as before an holy God. But the Lord moved him. He had this regard for Daniel, and it says, doesn't it? And the king thought to set him over the whole realm. But you see, King Darius had to be brought. And I just think again of the letter I had back from our Prime Minister. You know, may we not forget this, that he is in the Lord's hand, that he is in the Lord's hand, and the hearts of all men are in the Lord's hand, and he moveth them whithersoever he will. Oh, I leave these thoughts with you. But I leave God's word with you. I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom men tremble and fear before the God of Daniel, for he is the living God and steadfast forever. And his kingdom, that which shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall be even unto the end. He delivereth and rescueth. And the Lord knows how it may be with any of us here tonight, and the things that you may be carrying, the things that you may be burdened about, those things that you've been made so aware are impossible with men. But even the Lord himself tells us that which is impossible with men or with man is possible with God. I hope I'm leaving you at least with this: he delivereth and rescueth. And the Lord knows where there are those that need the Lord to rescue them. You may have them in your life and your path, but he delivereth and rescueth. And any of us here tonight, the Lord knows who it could be, but do we have those that we need the Lord to deliver them? We need the Lord to rescue them. And that's our only hope. But he delivereth and rescueth, and he worketh signs and wonders in heaven and in earth. Who hath delivered Daniel from the power of the lions? And couldn't we think of Europe and all these different things surely we could think of it as a den of lions. Well, the Lord can deliver. I hope he will yet, in whatever way may be needed. Amen. Lord, thou knowest that this poor sinner has had to venture with this subject here tonight. And Lord, thou only knowest what thy will may yet be for our sinful land and in and among our churches and indeed in our own souls and our own lives and in our own families. But O Lord, when we really think about it, that thou did move King Darius, he was compelled to say what he did, and so had King Nebuchadnezzar as well, if we know our Bible. Lord, King Nebuchadnezzar had had to acknowledge the same truth, and yet there was Daniel, and his friends especially, in captivity. And Lord, the solemn effect of it, or the solemn cause of it, was sin, and so it has ever been. O Lord, that thou would yet have mercy upon us as a nation, and in our churches, and in our own lives, and in our own souls. Oh, that I could know more of that real trembling before God. Lord, I think in closing tonight here is something that's touched my heart for many years, but when we think of what is said of thy servant Isaiah, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. But what did it do for Isaiah? Oh, it brought him to thy feet. And yet it was through that channel that he was to receive the life call from heaven, and his sins purged, his iniquities pardoned. Lord, we need these realities. I think it was Mr. Haler who used to say, we need to be delivered from generalities and to be granted realities. And if ever there was a day, Lord, in Zion, it must be now. Oh, have mercy yet, if it could please thee. Send out thy light and thy truth, and let them lead us. Let them bring us to thy holy hill and to thy tabernacle. We've been allowed to come, Lord, here tonight. Now, we shall need thee to take us home. Can it please thee to take us each home in peace? And Lord, thou hast said, and this is our only hope, Lord, if there is even yet to be any further real blessing in our own hearts, our own souls, our own lives, our own chapels, it can only come through thy blessing upon thy word. There's no other source of real blessing, Lord, but thou hast said, my word shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I send it. Lord, we need thee to send it home into our hearts and into our churches, our chapels, and into our poor sinful land, if it could please thee. Oh, Lord, we ask, and may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father with the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.